Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 559. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Welcome to the official podcast of Madden 22, sponsored by EA.
You're only allowed to say that right now because it's just the two of us. Well, and Jennifer not here to stop us talking about football and strategy games. So.
That's right. So this podcast is now about nothing but sports games and strategy games. All right. Finally.
It's fine. Like,
got rid of the riffraff.
Yep. We can finally talk about what matters. The 20s. What is it? No, it might be longer than that. It might be like the 30-something edition of Madden.
Gosh, Madden 20. There was actually a Madden 25, right?
I think that was at the beginning of the Xbox One PS4 era.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we might be on like 31 or 32 now. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. we're
so,
talking about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, so 2013 was Madden 25. So this is like the 31st Madden game.
Yep. Talking about all the big games. I was thinking about picking up Madden, and I saw that they raised their prices to $70.
Yes,
on it. And then I saw some people not saying great things about it, but I don't know if they are true or if it's just the early people playing it and they're the Madden haters that come out of the woodwork at the beginning.
You hear from them first.
Yeah.
So I picked up the $70 version of Madden. I didn't pay $70 for it, though. I can't remember what I paid, but I got the digital version.
You get the discount with Game Pass.
You get the discount. Play. Yeah, it's like $7 off, and then I had a bunch of extra credit from Microsoft Rewards. So
yep,
it ended up costing me like $40 as opposed to like the full $70. So I was like, let's take the plunge. Because I buy Madden every year anyway, so if it's a bad year for Madden, so be it. So you hop in the game. Normally dumps you into some famous game from the year before, so you end up playing an exhibition game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs, as Tom Brady, as God intended. Then you get to experience the new systems, which I couldn't really tell you what they are at the moment. I didn't really see any big gameplay additions or changes from the pure gameplay perspective. There are some alterations to the game, but they're like to the franchise, to the modes, as opposed to the actual
playing.
It was really hard to tell. I would not be able to tell you what upgrades this game had over previous editions. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot there. There is a momentum feature in the game now.
Okay.
I guess that's the one big thing. So each team, when they make plays, there's like a meter that works for the whole game. So as each team makes plays, you get moved along the meter. And the team that's making more plays will get like bonuses. Like maybe the other team will jump off sides more easily, or their players will be more susceptible to a play fake or whatever it happens to be. And the momentum can swing back and forth based on events happening in the game. So you throw an interception, it gets returned for a touchdown, and the momentum swings back. So you move, the other team moves back down in the meter to the other side. It's a nice feature. I'm not sure that it works properly. There's supposed to be an achievement attached to it, like the max meter swing, like making the meter swing all the way from one end to the other.
Okay.
It doesn't work, which kind of makes me wonder if the whole system works properly.
If it's just like a counter, like they did this and the meter goes up and down, but it doesn't actually do anything behind the scenes.
Yeah. I guess the only other change I've noticed in game, you can have a strategy And this was sort of in it before, like when you're playing the franchise mode, you would practice during the week, and in practice you would, you know, have kind of something
set a game
that maybe,
plan.
Right, the game plan. So now you can actually change the game plan at halftime.
Okay.
Which is nice. So you could swap from deep pass to short pass or outside run, maybe, because you have a big lead and you're trying to like run clock.
Yeah.
In the second half. So you can swap that up. So that's kind of cool. But again, nothing earth shattering, nothing big from the gameplay front. I kind of feel like they talked a lot earlier this year about emphasizing the franchise mode coming into this season. I don't really see a whole lot of upgrades. The interface is ugly. Before, I used to have this thing where you could like see the whole depth chart out in front of you and like go through all your players and manage them. That looked really cool. It looked really awesome. That's gone. I'm not really sure why that's gone, because that was like an awesome, awesome feature. Now you have to find like your depth chart and through all the menus and like locate everything. So that part is weird. There are like weekly goals, and you had goals before where you could get XP or whatever. Now you can kind of choose what they are.
That's nice. So I always hated like, oh, you have to get, you know, throw 40 touchdowns or something with your quarterback.
Or like it would be like our weekly goal would be something like throw for 400 yards.
Right.
And you're like, I'm facing the NFL's top pass defense. Why the fuck could you give me that as a goal? That's never going to happen. Now you have like, based on the game plan that you choose, those goals will be focused on that.
Okay.
And then as you, there's like sort of kind of a meter of like how far you've gotten up that goal. And as you get to portions of that goal, you'll unlock points, and you can use those points to upgrade your coaching. So there's like this kind of like tree, like you'd have in an RPG coach, and like unlock, you know, plus 10% experience for offensive linemen and that kind of thing, using those points that you earn by achieving your goals. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, the rest of the franchise mode really seems like previous years. I really don't. I've only played three games so far, so I can't speak for like the whole experience, but that does not seem to be much of an upgrade over last year.
It's funny because, like as you said, they made a big deal out of like, oh, we're focusing on that this year, and that's been the big complaint for pretty much the entire last generation, is that franchises.
Right. They spend a lot of time on those be a player modes, and not so much on the franchise. But the franchise mode was really good. But this kind of seems like a step back from last season, where like it looked good last season. It looked good. It was, you know, you could. I mean, you got goals. You got like fun challenges as the season went on, and like the look and the feel was better. It's hard to look at this game and be like, oh, what a jump forward for Madden. What a great next-gen Madden. It's just not, doesn't seem to be. So.
All right. Well, maybe I'll play that 10-hour free preview. Oh,
the other thing was the free preview. So I played my exhibition game on the free preview. And then knowing that EA has screwed this thing up so often in the free preview, where they're like your 10 hours ticks off accidentally.
Yep.
And you lose it all. So I was super careful. I played that game. I shut Madden down. I made sure to like turn the game off. You know, cancel out the game to make sure I'm fully out. I was all quit out. I turned my console off. A couple days later I came back to play a little more of that free trial, and it was over. It ticked off anyway.
They always find a way to screw it up.
I didn't even bother. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm probably buying this anyway, so why even bother?
Well, I'm like more interested in Madden this year just because like the Dolphins seem like they might actually be good this year.
Yeah.
But it's not inspiring me with great confidence. Seems like it's just kind of more of the same. So it's not bad.
Right, exactly. And I mean, how often does Madden really turn things on its head?
Right.
Probably not that often.
No giant whiteouts on the screen yet.
From a technical perspective, it seems to work better than last year's Madden at launch.
That's good.
So it does have
it'd be hard to work worse. It's on the Frostbite engine, right? Like
yes,
I think Madden's been there for a while.
Yeah, I think this is its fourth iteration.
Yeah, no, I know they said NHL is finally moving to Frostbite this year, so we'll see how that goes.
Enjoy the snow on the ice.
I mean, they got it perfect last year in Madden.
Yeah, right.
And Humankind.
I knew about this game before they announced it was going to be free day one on Xbox Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
I was super excited when they thought, this is an awesome game. I'm going to play a ton and for free now. Awesome. So Humankind. I've obviously played a lot of Civilization. I know I've talked a lot about it on the show.
Yep.
There are some things about Civilization that have been annoying and have been annoying for a very, very long time. And Humankind really goes out of its way to kind of fix those issues. So I guess the two biggest ones, it's the starting position and the choice of civilization. So in Civ, you would, pick whoever you wanted to be. So maybe you want to be some seafaring nation, right? You want to be like Carthaginians. So you get like a bonus for having harbors or whatnot. And then you would start up the game and your initial settler unit would end up in the middle of a continent in the desert. Like not near any ocean whatsoever.
So none of those bonuses were any good.
So none of that actually mattered. So of course, if you really wanted to play it as them, you'd quit out, you'd restart and hope to end in a better spot. And you just restart that game until you would end up in a spot where you could ever, it would actually matter that you were them, right?
Right.
The other thing is you really had to end up in a spot in the first turn of the game where you could found your city. Because if you don't found that city on the first turn, you end up like way behind the other civilizations as they like start getting, developing and getting population, everything so much faster than you do.
Right.
Like you don't want to start behind. So Humankind fixes both of those problems in a really, really cool way. So when you start off, everyone playing the game starts off as like cavemen, like tribal people. You don't actually have a civilization. You don't have the ability to found a city when you start. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of roaming around, gathering food, trying to survive. And as you gather food, you kind of have this like, it's not a scout, it's like a tribal unit, which is like a warrior. You could fight with it. You're probably not going to start off close to like another civilization. But there are like animals out there that you can fight with and hunt for meat and that kind of thing. But as you get food, you get more of those guys. And when you've gathered enough food, you can found an outpost. And then that outpost will eventually be allowed to grow into a city as you gather more and more stuff for it.
Okay. It's like it gradually expands.
Yeah, it's a gradual buildup. You don't need to start in an optimal position. In fact, you have a chance to explore and find that optimal position before you found anything.
Right.
Because you can't when you start off. So it's kind of a really cool way of like opening the game and not forcing you to do anything. And then when you finally get that first city, that's the point at which you choose your civilization.
So like, if you pick by the ocean, then that's when you can, all right, I'm going to go for the seafaring nation.
Right. Or like, I want a civilization that gets a bunch of food bonuses because there's not that much food around where I am, or whatever it happens to be. Now, the other cool thing about it is a lot of the rest of the gameplay, very similar to Civilization. So you're researching technologies, you're building other cities, blah, blah, blah. As you advance in era, so, you start off as like prehistory. I think I started off as the Olmecs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I advanced to the next era. At that point, I got to choose a new civilization. So I moved from the Olmecs to the Romans. And then I spent a whole era as the Romans. And then when I moved up to the next era, I got to choose a new civilization. So it was the Franks. So you keep getting, like, as you develop technologically and whatnot, you get to actually switch who you are and, like, move into a... So you end up going through the game having played as, like, I think there's 7 eras. Mm-hmm. So you end up playing as 7 different civilizations.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a really cool...
Because Civ locks you in, right? Like, you're...
It does.
This. Yeah.
You've made your choice. And like each civilization has like a different special unit and like special building or whatnot that you can build during that era. Well, in Civ, say you're playing as the Romans, your special unit is the Legion. Well, once you get to the modern era, that unit is useless. You're not going to build any of those anymore.
Right.
So each era kind of has its own character. You have your own special thing that you're focusing on. So that part's pretty cool.
It also makes sense too, like, because that's the way history has gone, right? Like, yeah. the Romans eventually faded away,
right?
And right. new more powerful civilizations took over their spot,
right? Exactly. So you kind of get that whole, like, time passes, these civilizations fall, other ones rise in their place, and you got that all going on. The other thing is the switching of the eras is not dependent on your technological development, oddly enough. To move to the next era, you need to assemble 7 stars. And stars are things you earn in a number of different ways. You can earn them by, you can earn agrarian stars by like farming and getting so much food. You can get military stars for conquering, for eliminating enemy units, or expansion stars for like building more cities and taking over more territories. So it's not necessarily technologically dependent that you move up. The other thing is to win the game. It's in Civ, there were a bunch of different ways you could win the game. You could conquer the world. You could be the first civilization to build the stupid spaceship to Alpha Centauri. They added some other way you could religiously conquer the world. There were some other ones they added as the game was around. Here, the game has a finite end. I noticed as I moved my civilization into the last era, it capped the game. It's like, okay, from here on, there's only 200 turns left, and then the game will end.
Okay.
It's based on a score that you build up over time by doing stuff. So you get like basically points for conquering a city or building a wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Or, but
does it give you like a leaderboard to see where you're at?
Yeah, there's a leaderboard. You can see where you are. So I haven't actually finished my first game yet. I think I'm like 75 turns from the end. I'm way up on the leaderboard. Like I'm going to win. It's going to happen. Sorry, other civilizations. but it's nice to kind of have that as opposed to like the race to take over everyone else's capital or whatever it was in Civ. It's a different kind of ending, I guess. Maybe it's not necessarily better, it's just different. And it's kind of nice to see like a score based on my achievement over 7 eras as opposed to like everything that happens at the very end of the game being the most important stuff.
Right. And just like, with the different civilizations fading out and new ones taking their place, like it's a logical, it's kind of like a logical endpoint for it, right? Like a civilization, right. You know, provided we don't all murder each other and, or that the sun doesn't engulf us, like civilization will continue on, like,
yeah,
for forever. So,
now that said, the end does seem a little capped,
a little flat,
kind of flat. Almost like this game's not quite finished all the way. So it wouldn't surprise me to see some like add-ons
to
like flesh out that end game. Plus, you know, add more eras, make the eras longer. Like there's a lot of room here to do other stuff.
Achievements with this?
Oh yes. I've nice. Gotten a number of achievements. It's there's a lot of them too. They're all like 10 points too. So
nice. This actually seems like it might be a little bit easier to get into than Civ. Like
it's much, much more logical. And the tutorial is really good. It really walks you through what you need to do. So
I always feel like Civ is like they have a pretty good tutorial, but it's also like, you know what you're doing, right?
Civ kind of feels like you have to know how to play Civ to play Civ, which doesn't really make sense.
Right. It's like, here's this really elaborate board game, and we're going to give you, like, a tutorial, but not really. Like, just figure it out. It's like,
yeah,
this seems a little bit more gradual.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It is not a Jeff game, though.
Sounds awful.
Well, it's on PC, too. We know Jeff doesn't touch computers because they'd burst into flame.
And then there doesn't seem to be a way. Like, soon you'll be able to, like, stream, Xbox games on your system. But I don't think you can stream the PC games to your Xbox. So
I noticed they're going to let you stream Xbox Series X games to your Xbox One.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Like, I mean, it does, like, it's like, oh, what do I need a Series X for? And it's like, well, you can run this stuff natively and it'll look better. Like, if you have a 4K TV, that's what you want. But otherwise, like, yeah, why? Like, here, buy this cheaper box and you don't even have to have a hard drive in it because everything's going to stream. So,
yeah.
Provided your internet connection is good. Well, Jeff, you have joined us in the podcast room.
Yeah.
How perfect timing to hear about humankind. Perfect timing.
Yeah, I didn't
enough about humankind.
I wanted. I'm glad you didn't like interrupt. So we'd have to end the humankind talk there, Jeff. It's like interested in it. we generally do skip over some of Tony's his strategy games, but that one sounds pretty cool. So.
Yeah.
Jeff, you've been playing some. We've all been playing some new stuff. So
yeah,
you just talked about Madden and Humankind. Tell us about Game of the Year, Psychonauts 2, though.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say something else. Psychonauts 2. I don't know. It's good. Has anyone else played it yet?
I haven't installed it. Yeah.
Okay. It's it's good. I think the things that people like about those games are things that like just not for me really. Like
it's people like the story, they like the characters, they like the personality of it.
And so I'd say there's so many cutscenes in it. Like you get to play for like a minute and then it's like here's another cutscene. Like I made it to the first boss today. And in the boss, every time you hit the boss, after you hit the boss, there's another cutscene. I'm like, dude, can I just play the game? And I think that, like, people that are super into Psychonauts, like, they're into this story and all that. Like, I am, I don't play games for story. I'm not really paying attention anymore to the story. I don't care. And so, like, all that stuff is, like, interrupting me just kind of trying to enjoy the game.
I do love the evolution of this show. So if we went back to like what was it? Was it 2013 when The Last of Us came out?
And back then it was like you know, games trying to tell competent stories was kind of new.
Right.
And yeah, I just at some point I just fell on the like I want to just play games. Like I don't. Yeah, even when they're good, and I guess this here probably is good. It's just like I just don't want that all the time. Like if I want a story, I'll watch a movie or a show or something. Like you know. But yeah, this is very story heavy, like very cutscene heavy, and I don't love that. I don't like the combat either. I feel like the enemies are very overpowered. But today I discovered, you know, that they have a lot of accessibility settings. You can make yourself invincible. I didn't do that though. There's like a setting you just I think it's like it says like narrative difficulty. It's just like once I turned that on, the enemies felt like the right strength. It just felt like. Say you're in Mario and you had to like fight a little mushroom for like a fucking minute to kill it. You know what I mean? Like it was just too much. Like I was just getting killed a lot. Anytime like you were forced to do the combat, I would just die immediately. Turned on that narrative difficulty and yeah, it just feels right now. So that's fixed, I guess. And, you know, the levels are really cool looking and there's clever things in it. Like one example is you have like a grappling hook type ability and you could use that to like connect people's thoughts. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but pretty neat. So I'm like, I'm having an okay time, I guess. And I'm kind of like, powering through the things I don't like to, you know, get this 3D platformer that, you know, looks nice and generally controls well. So yeah, I'm not like Psychonauts super fan here, but
lots of stuff to collect.
Oh yeah. I don't even know why I'm collecting most of it, but yeah, there's tons of stuff all over. I think there's like these like kind of neon things just scattered everywhere.
Yep. Like the little ghostly shaping things. Yeah, they were in the first one. I'm not sure why. I think like you collected them to upgrade something, upgrade your powers or something.
Yeah, I think it's so you level up in this, and I probably have a few points to spend actually right now. Just yeah, to make yourself strong. Maybe that, you know, that would help me with the combat if I was investing those points. But yeah, I think that they add up to that. Like they help to help you level up. But there's other things too, you know, stuff all over.
And are the levels inside people's heads?
Yeah.
So you go into their brain and.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Psychonauts.
Yep. I think it's, you know, again, I'm not like a super fan of it, but yeah, I get why people like it, and it's nice to. I don't know. It's nice to have like this pretty polished platformer as a like Microsoft exclusive. Just, you know, a little too much polish for me with all those cutscenes. I was raised on Nintendo. You don't have a story. Just go jump around. You know, well, save the princess.
It's also on. It's also on PS4.
Oh, is it? I thought.
Yeah, okay. when this game was originally announced, it was actually I think the first game on Fig, if you guys remember that crowdfunding platform.
Yeah,
I think it was the first game on there, and this was before Double Fine had been bought by Microsoft. So,
oh, okay,
it still came out on PS4, but it is a Series X exclusive. There is no PS5 version.
Hmm.
Which is weird, but
well, at least you know people that don't have the new Xbox can play it. I guess then I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, and you know I'm glad that you know it's out there for fans. Yeah. Series. They've wanted this for like 15 years. So.
Yeah, it's cool, and it did come out well. Like again, it's not my favorite thing ever, but you could tell this is like a you know it's a well made game. So.
And I think that
feel like something that's crowdfunded, you know, like, yeah.
Well, I do think some of that, like this game was supposed to come out years ago. And yeah. I think Microsoft just like let Double Fine and Tim Schafer just like work on this and polish it. And
It shows that they put the work into it.
Good. I have a feeling I'm not gonna love it, but I didn't love the original, so.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's so weird for me because it's like one of my favorite genres. But yeah, there's just something about, not huge Double Fine fan and whatever, but there are some neat things in this. It's worth checking out and getting through all those fucking cutscenes. You eventually do get to play a little bit, and then it's kind of cool.
I'm glad you said that the levels look cool though, because like that was the one thing I really liked about the original game was visually it was so like arresting because you go through these different brains and very cool art style.
Oh yeah, it's probably the best thing about it so far for me.
And Earl has joined us. Everybody is here now.
Yay! Yeah. The gang's all here.
For you, whatever. Sir?
I'm great. I am just coming in from Candyman. What have I missed on this
podcast? Right, it's perfect episode? Time because we were just about to talk about Madden.
Okay. So while he talks about Madden, I will eat dinner. I'll be back in 8-10 minutes.
It's lying. We already talked about Madden, but if you need to eat, go eat.
No. If we're not
hey,
talking
wait a
about
minute
Madden,
here. Some would think that you didn't like Madden.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you think I don't like Madden, I apologize. I don't like Madden, so you can clear the air there. So you don't have to think it. You wouldn't know it. And no one gets half the battle. I don't have any beef with Madden. It's just not my cup of tea. Did you folks talk about 12 minutes?
We did not. We should do that.
Because I am very fascinated to hear about people who actually played it. Because I was just so curious that I just broke and read the synopsis. And I'm hoping that the execution is better than it sounds on paper. But I don't think that's the case.
So, Jeff, you played like... What 10 minutes yeah, of 12 minutes, and then
I played maybe an hour. Like I kept not making progress. I guess you could say.
Yep, that happens.
And I was like, it's a neat idea. You know, I'm not necessarily like you know, I don't think that the subject matter would necessarily make it bad, but I didn't get far enough to form an opinion on that. Neat. So, I like the angle, the camera angle, but like that type of game, I don't think I like. I don't know. I was trying all these stupid things, and I was just like, okay, I'm getting nowhere. So,
and you're done with it now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, Tony, you're not gonna play this game?
Probably not. No.
Okay. Just then, anybody that is listening, this may get spoilery. I think...
It will be, because I don't think there's any way to talk about why this game is so weird without really going into the story.
So from what you know, what Jeff was explaining, it's top-down adventure game, point-and-click adventure game at that. You kind of have a little bit more control over your character than a normal point-and-click, but not much. The premise is that you come home from work, your wife is there, kind of settling down for a normal evening. She's going to reveal something to you. And then it all gets interrupted by a police officer showing up. Somebody says they're a police officer showing up to, arrest your wife. And, if you are there as well to put you in handcuffs. And it's all about because she evidently murdered her dad.
He's looking for a pocket watch, I think, or something. Yes. The cop is.
Yep.
And then after they handcuff you, it just starts over again. And it's just like, I couldn't get anywhere. I would talk to her like, you know, hey, what happened with your dad? Hey, where's their pocket watch? You just deny everything. I would run out of time. The cop would show up again. And so I just started poking around the apartment. And, you know, I'd find like, oh, I could, if I pick up a knife off the kitchen counter, I could open up a vent and there's nothing in the vent. And I'm like, well, maybe I have to light up the vent. Like, so I got one of the fake candles off the kitchen table, put it in the vent. Nothing. I'm like, all right, dude, what do you want me to do here? I've looked in every fucking drawer, you know, like, and I'm just like, you know what? They want you to do something so specific, I guess. And I'm just like, I don't like that. I don't know.
That's my major issue with the gameplay of it, is that to progress, you need to figure out a certain amount of information from dialogue and from the events that are happening. And some of that means that, like, you can't be there. Like, right? So, like, the your wife and the cop can't know you're there. So you need to, like, hide in the closet. And
oh my just, like, God.
And, like, let the entire thing play out so that you get some more information. I didn't think of that. So, like, and then that'll give you some more information on, like,
like, she'll be more happens. Open with the cop when he starts questioning her.
No. So, okay. So you need to then, after that, convince her that you're in a time loop.
Okay.
And once that happens, then she believes you and she starts giving you some more information, which you can then use to do the next stage of it.
See, I was trying to do that without hiding in the closet, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so you need to get certain information from there. But you need also for certain things to happen before that. So she has, like, the first thing she says, like, hey, I made dessert. Like, guess who made dessert or whatever. So you need to actually have dessert with her to get a very vital piece of information to advance the story as well. Because that's what you use to then convince her that you know what that you're in a time loop. Because, like, you get a present during that, and if you open the present during dessert, then you can then tell her, look, present's closed. I did not open this. And tell her what's in it, and then she'll believe you.
See, the first time I tried eating dessert, and I think I just screwed up and, like, took a bite of it without her at the table, and she got all pissy with me, like, oh, I see how it is. And then she went in the bedroom, and I came in there, I was like, dude, no, come on out, we'll have the dessert, or whatever. She's like, no, you can just go have it on your own. And I was like, okay. And then once the cop showed up, and I knew, like, all right, we're
still. And that run, that loop is fucked. Like, you're done at that point. She won't talk to you, it's over.
Yeah. But then after that, I'm not thinking about the dessert because I know the cop is coming, and I'm like, I gotta get this info out of her, you know. So I was just like, we can't be wasting time eating dessert. This cop's coming in like 5 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, man.
So if you hide in the closet, to get the other information, he kills her. He murders her.
Oh God. Okay.
And so, like, he'll murder her. He'll murder you if you're there. Like, he'll threaten, like, you know, he handcuffs both of you, and then, like, goes, where's the information? Where's the pocket watch? Because I don't know what you're talking about. And then he'll come over and just strangle you to death. If you try to stab him, he'll kill you. Like, so basically it's like there's no way out of this 12-minute loop without one of you dying until you get that information. So you could relive this, like, horrid thing hundreds of times until you get the correct information.
Sounds wonderful. Sign me up.
And then
that doesn't sound so bad. I mean, again, it's obtuse, but a lot of puzzle games are.
Yeah.
Really, I think it comes down for me, and I think this is what Chris is gonna get to now, is how it all plays out eventually as to why this is a thing.
Yeah. So then there's, like, there's really only three, like, there's really only, like, three story loops, right? So there's the opening one where he comes in, handcuffs you both. If you can, you then need to do something to get her away from you and then hide so that you can trap the cop. So there's, like, certain things in the house that, like, you have to do. You have to do them in order, and you have to do them quickly to set this in encounter up. And then you'll get some more information. And then you start to put the information together. And eventually, and I'm going to completely spoil this, it comes out that you are your wife's brother.
Oh, God.
And she did not kill her father. You did. You're her half-brother. Because he had an affair with the nanny. And you were born out of that. And this whole time, he is, like, you've been suppressing this, I guess, internally in your head, or you weren't, and you just, like, whatever. but it all plays out like nobody knows what's up. She's been hiding from you that she thinks she killed her dad 8 years ago. And you've been hiding from her the fact that you are her brother and have been fucking her and are going to have a baby with her.
Sweet.
Yeah. For 8 years.
That's long 8 years.
There's a really good...
You killed the dad?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, you're the one, you are the murderer.
Were you raised with her, or like, was the nanny raise you?
No. So the nanny leaves, like, after she gets pregnant, she leaves, and, you know, never to be seen again by your sister. Your sister's mom knows about the affair, and she hates the nanny and hates your dad for it. And I guess he has some interaction with you. He's probably been, you know, he has some money, so he's been probably financially supporting you and her for and your mom for a while. And I don't know how it comes out, but like you end up like wanting to date your sister. But your dad knows like what's up, right? So he tries to stop you and you end up killing him at some point.
Why is the cop, what's his deal?
Okay. So this is where it gets weird, right?
This is where it gets weird.
Yeah.
If it wasn't already weird for you. So you can either interpret it that the cop is real and that he is a friend of your dad's and he knows about this and like he was very distraught that your sister killed, like he thinks that she killed him. So he's very, you know, he wants to get revenge and he knows about the pocket watch and his daughter has a cancer, I believe, and she needs money for treatment, or he needs money to like be able to pay for the treatment. So he somehow tracks down your wife from a pawn shop where she did not sell the pocket watch, but it was able to figure out like, oh, that's the pocket watch I'm looking for. This is the guy who killed my friend. This is the woman who killed my friend. I'm going to go get that pocket watch, which I'll then sell and, you know, have the money to save my daughter and also get revenge for my friend's death. There's an interpretation, which I think works from that Kotaku put out an article a couple days ago. And is an interpretation that this whole thing takes place in your head. Like none of it is real, and it is all taking place in your character's mind palace, where he is trying to come to grips with leaving his sister, your wife.
How much I love bullshit like that.
Right. It is, yes. So yeah.
Yeah. Cause I, like I said, I just kept on hearing everybody talk about the ending and I'm like, I really need to know what this is. And I was just reading it and kept on going. I'm like, this can't be real. This can't be real.
My objection is it's not that it's icky. I mean, it is, whatever, but it sounds dumb. Like, it sounds like a dumb.
Well, it's both icky and dumb. You could be one or the other. Yeah. You could be dumb.
You could be icky.
Yeah.
But you can't be both.
You can't be both, and then the gameplay is really clunky on top of it, so nothing about this game is good.
Because that's it. Because you have to work to get that, because the other thing I heard is that you have to like play the game perfectly to actually get the ending.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you don't, it's like there's three endings, and you need to pick certain dialogue choices and do certain things for that to trigger. Otherwise, you're still stuck in the loop. And like Jeff, like where he's just banging his head against the wall, like, I didn't think of this. Like, she's reading a book at one point. Like, she sits down right before, like, you come in, she comes out of the bathroom, gives you a kiss, and like, you know, says, hey, you know, I made dessert. Tell me when you want to have it. And you go, yeah, sure. And then, like, you wander around the apartment, which is not very big. But she sits down on the couch and starts reading a book. You have to question her about that book and go deep on that that dialogue tree to get to trigger something, you know, three loops later to trigger the ending.
I thought, like, I liked the camera angle, and I was, like, into it more than I normally would this type of game, because the setup is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But then just hearing how it goes, I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Setup is cool. Like, I mean, I like the idea of, like, hey, this guy's coming, like, the home invasion, and, like, you know, it's kind of this horror tinge to it. And it continues on that way, for sure, but, you know, it's just dumb and icky. And I just don't think it works. Like, it thinks it's smarter than it is. Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually surprised that game is scoring, like, you know, high 70s, 80s. It seems really weird to me.
Well, Kotaku didn't like it.
Well, and that's where I read it. It's covering a taboo subject, and, you know, sometimes that gets points for art.
Yeah, I guess I could see that, right? Like, it's like, oh, this is trying to be mature, trying to advance games. Like, no, it's just, like, a bad story. It's a bad story and bad gameplay.
But a bad story told interactively.
Wonderful. I'm with you on, Jeff. Like, I like the concept, but execution is just not great.
Yeah, you know, I tried it out because it was free, so that was at least
the one price positive. Was right.
Yeah, but I don't. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, this is a game, like, you know, it's been hyped up for a while. Like, I think it was announced 2 years ago, and, like, I was like, yeah, this looks really cool. Like, I'm into it. Like, I like a good murder mystery. Like, and you're going to, like, make it, like, a time loop thing. Like, that sounds really cool. Like, I would have paid, I think it's, like, $24 or something. I would have bought this game. I'm glad it was on Game Pass, because I would be pissed. Like, if I had thrown that money towards it. All right. Earl, you play anything this week?
Oh, man, it's been 2 weeks, and I think I've not played anything. The only thing I played, I don't want to talk about yet, because I want to put more time into it with friends on Monday. We talked about Descent. Yeah, I've not actually played a ton. Yeah.
Jeff, you play anything else besides Psychonauts?
I played through Axiom Verge 2 twice.
And you still love that game?
Very much. I think when we talked about it, I had just started, I think, right?
You had made some progress into it, but it had just come out. I mean, you beat it, like, the next day, but
yeah, it's a game of the year contender for me. I think it's really great. Nice. It's I remember mentioning, like, oh, there's some things that seem, like, pretty different. And yeah, it does a lot of things different from the first one. It sticks to being, like, melee-based combat, so you're not getting guns. I remember I said, oh, I feel like I haven't run into any bosses. That's because the bosses aren't in, like, a boss room they have to go and beat. Like, they're just scattered. Like, they're just the bigger enemies. Mm-hmm. You don't have to kill them. I recommend doing so, because you get these, like, little experience nuggets or whatever that help you level up. So it's really more based on the exploration aspect of a Metroid type game, which I think is kind of the best part. And it's just a very, pleasant, awesome experience, dude. Like, I started it up again and it hooked me in again. I played right through it again. When I was done with that, I was like, let's try out the first one again. And very quickly I realized that I think I like the second one more. So it's a really cool game. Recommended for sure if you're into Metroid style games.
Nice.
But it does have its own identity more so than the first one. Really does feel like Metroid, and this is, like, the guy took some chances to do stuff different to make it feel less like just a Metroid clone. And for me, they paid off.
All right. That's good.
It rules.
Tony, you play anything else besides Humankind and Madden?
No, just I mean, I think I played a little bit of Apex Legends. Apex, I'm sure you're shocked.
Very shocked.
Shocked and awed and amazed.
That's okay. My game of the year announced that it's coming to full release next month. So be excited for Grand Tactician: The American Civil War.
All right.
Oh, September. Yes. Oh,
I'm sure you guys can't wait.
The excitement in the air. Oh, yeah.
So it's electric, isn't it, Earl?
Like I can see.
All right. Real quick. I guess. We got four more games. Real quick, well, Quake remaster came out last week. You played some of it too, Jeff?
Yeah, I think I'm on like the fifth level or something.
Okay. Like fifth level or fifth world?
Level.
Okay. You're like I reached the exit area.
Four times.
Okay. Yeah. So it's you know, set up like Doom, where it's, you know, different episodes you play through. This has four episodes directly, and then a final level, final boss that you fight after you get the runes in each of the other episodes. I played all the way through it. It's still great. That I mean, it's Doom gameplay.
But yeah,
with a you know, it's a more gothic kind of looking aesthetic. It does change a little bit.
Cubes.
Yeah, well, I mean, Trent Reznor did, I think he voiced the main character. Not that there's a whole lot going on there. But also, the original game had Nine Inch Nails soundtrack. And yeah, you know, there's like a nail gun, and it has the Nine Inch Nails like logo on it. Like
the ammo.
Yeah.
Or, yeah,
on the ammo. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It was a ton of fun. The enemies are cool. Yeah, I think the level design is really good. Some of the stuff towards the end gets goofy, like it has you platforming a little bit, and it's also a little bit different from Doom so you can aim up and down in this, where in Doom, like you just aim straight ahead and it would hit things that were higher than you. You didn't have any control over that axis. So aiming seems it's a little bit loose in this. It's not quite as, like, Doom, I think, feels a little bit better playing it on with a controller, just because you don't have to worry about it. Just point your gun towards the enemy and hit it. Whereas this one, like, you can miss. Like, and ammo can be scarce at times. Like, but it was a ton of fun. Let's see. I played some Hades. That came out a couple weeks ago on Game Pass.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I think the last time we recorded, it was just coming out.
Yeah. And I had played it on the Switch. I'm enjoying it more this time around. I made it farther. I think I'm four levels deep now. I'm very much near the end. Like, I've gotten to Cerberus, and I have to, like, I don't know what to do there. That level seems very difficult. And by then you've used up a lot of your healing and a rejuvenation type items and or perks you have. So I guess I'm just grinding at this point, trying to upgrade my other abilities. I guess the other day, Jeff had re-mentioned again, we were talking about Psychonauts and Double Fine and Super Giant.
Yeah.
Jeff went, you know, Curse of the Dead Gods better than Hades. So I know you had played it. You raved about it earlier this year. Earl, you played it a little bit. Not too long ago. I don't like that game as much as Hades.
Oh. I can totally see that. Like, I prefer Hades, and I think part of it is Hades. The characters and the world is just a lot more fleshed out and colorful and dynamic. I feel like you fight the same type of enemies and stuff, and there are better weapons in Curse of the Dead Gods, I feel.
Yeah, well, that's part of my problem with Curse of the Dead Gods is, so like in Hades, I can go, I want to play with the spear or the sword. And in Curse of the Dead Gods, to be fair, I haven't played a ton of it, but it seems like you get randomized weapon Like, well, you start out with a weapon, and then you can pick up weapons, like, as you go along, or buy them from chests or something.
I think you unlock
weapons you can pick from, yeah.
Okay, because, like, I got stuck with one, I was like, this one sucks. Like, it's strong, but it's not, it wasn't as fast as what I would want. It's like, getting slaughtered here.
I think so. It's been a couple months since I've played it, but I seem to remember, like, as you would level up, you would open up more weapon. Like, before you start your run, you know, you could unlock. Well, okay, I'll have three to select from this time. You'll get a random.
Yeah, it's part of the skill tree unlock. You can unlock the pick at the start of the game.
So you'll have a much better, like, as you level up and whatever. Yeah, you'll have a better chance of getting a weapon that you want. Because you get to choose for more before you start.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it seems good. Like, it visually, I think it's dark, right? Like, it's like, as Earl said, Hades is much brighter. It's a little bit more detail and everything. I actually do like the art design that Curse of the Dead Gods has, but it is very dark. You have to, like, light up the with the torch and light up the, you know, the urns or whatever, so that you can see.
To me, it's much closer to something like looking something like Diablo, which I just prefer over the look of Hades. Like, and I just think that I've not played a lot of Hades because these types of games are just not my favorite thing ever. But I think that the combat just feels really good in Curse of the Dead Gods. Like, the whole dodging stamina trade-off thing. Like, I don't know, it feels good to me.
I could see that. Like, I mean, they're very similar in their style. It's just, you know, there's a couple different quirks, and it might go one way for some people and the other way for others. And you also don't, as you said earlier with Psychonauts, like, you just don't really care for story in the game. And that is kind of one of the draws of Hades, is, like, you know, every run you're getting a little bit more character interaction and learning more about why Zagreus is trying to escape. And
I also just think, like, they're a studio where their games don't feel as good to me for, I don't know what it is. Like, everyone loved, what was, like, their first big hit? Like,
Bastion.
Yeah, couldn't get into it. I don't know.
Yeah, the only one I haven't played is Transistor. I've liked all their games, but I haven't played that one. I remember Fozzie liked that one a lot. Anyway, I'm enjoying Hades. Curse of the Dead Gods also seems fine. I like you, Joe Jeff, I don't love, like, roguelikes. I think Hades has a little bit more for me to keep coming back to, because I'm getting that story bit. And there is a progression mechanic in, like, you know, you're building up the underworld area where you start out at. Like, you're doing improvements there. And there always seems to be something to upgrade, externally.
Is anyone getting Spelunky 2? I think coming out on the Switch soon.
Today.
Is it?
Both of them came out on the Switch today. One and two.
I kind of, like, again, it's like, I sometimes like these games because in a way they feel like arcade style games to me, but I can never, like, I've never beaten a roguelike, so they're cool to me, but, like, I don't think I got far into Spelunky 1, but I thought it was cool, you know what I mean? So it's, I'm considering it.
One I could see, you know, if Spelunky or Spelunky 2 were cheap, like, on a sale or something, I might try it out. But yeah, I don't love these types of games. So, and final thing, I picked up Aliens Fireteam Elite. I'm a big fan of the Alien franchise. It's a Left 4 Dead clone. It's only three players though, which I am a little disappointed in, because I was going to play it with three of my other friends that are big Alien fans.
Instead, you have one less friend now.
Yeah.
Now you need to do a pop quiz to see who's the true alien and who's just into aliens because his friends are.
You just gotta play through it a million times with
you have your friends have to deal to have some sort of trivia contest to figure out who should be actually allowed to play.
All right, we're gonna do Alien Jeopardy. So it's one of those games though, right? Like there's four campaigns, three levels a piece. Each level takes about half hour or so to beat. They throw hordes of aliens at you. There are special aliens, just like there are, you know, special zombies, like, which I find a little bit ridiculous. Like, why are there aliens with like big glowy green shit on their heads that explode acid everywhere when I shoot them? But whatever, it's fun. Like, shooting aliens is fun. They get the sound design is fucking perfect. Like that pulse rifle sounds exactly like it does in the movie. You have the motion tracker. It's like in the bottom corner, and you can kind of see them, you know, see the hordes of aliens coming towards you. You might not see them right away because they might be in the vents above you. It is not scary like Alien Isolation is, because I mean, how scary is it going to be when they're throwing a bunch of enemies that you can kill with your guns? That seems to be a big complaint people have with it, is like, oh, like, you know, the aliens aren't scary. And like, I don't know if you guys like saw Aliens in 1986, but like those aliens weren't scary either.
Outside of the first one, then not really going for horror.
Right. I mean, I guess you could say in the third one kind of gets back to it a little bit. It's one alien.
Depending on which version you see, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it is also really stupid.
But yeah, it's like, you know, Alien 2, Aliens, which is the second Alien movie, yeah. And Alien Resurrection, like, they throw tons of aliens at these guys, like, and they don't die, so like, you can survive. And who's to say that, like, you know, you don't throw a group of space marines down there and that they can't sweep up like an area and make a rescue? Doesn't mean that everyone's going to die all the time. There's like upgrade mechanics. You upgrade your weapons. You get new attachments for them. You have like cool equipment that you can put out. Like there's like a little turret or a drone. I don't know. It gets the feel of Aliens, right? I'm having fun with it.
Does an organization eventually betray you?
Probably.
Like, you need that authentic Aliens experience.
Yeah, I'm sure Weyland-Yutani is going to screw us over at some point. There is a story, right? Like, more story than like in Left 4 Dead or Zombie Army 4. Like, there's somebody like talking to you as you're going through, and they're like in the command center and giving you advice and giving you information on things that are coming up and what's happening. And I'm assuming that all four of them tie together. So I'm sure that at some point Weyland-Yutani tries to turn you guys into bioweapons, and you have to find a way to escape. So you're probably going to get the authentic Aliens experience. It's $40. So, I mean, I don't think if you're not a big Aliens fan, don't like run out and get this. There's plenty of other co-op shooters available.
Waiting for that Back for Blood.
Right. Well, yeah, it's coming in October. Zombie Army 4 is available on Game Pass right now. Yeah, there's a lot of these games out there. But I'm a fan of Aliens, so this one is scratching that itch. I think I have some fun with it.
I like Alien. I would probably enjoy it, but it's like, this genre or whatever you want to call it is like, I don't get super into them usually. So I was like, if I'm going to do one, I think Back 4 Blood looks really good. So that's,
yeah.
And it's on Game Pass.
That also helps.
Right. Like, yeah. Being on Game Pass is like a huge bonus.
Game Pass is pretty cool.
All right. Guess there were some news.
Speaking of Game Pass, part of the news of this week was that you will now be able to, well, not now, starting, I think, at the end of the year, you'll be able to pay Xbox Series X and X games on your Xbox One S and X with cloud gaming. So that's really kind of nifty, I believe. This is the first time we've had backwards compatibilities with systems where you're able to actually go to use your current device to play new games.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you're going to have a good connection, but that's really neat that people are going to be able to play. You know, like, they'll be able to play Forza Horizon 5 on their Xbox One. And that's a Series X game, so.
Yes, and I think that's a great point that you mentioned, is that, yes, you can play it, but ultimately the better experience will be to get these new systems so you can play it natively.
Yeah.
But it's like you have a reason to get it, but if you can't afford it or you don't have, you know, like, you can also just keep your current system. And I think it's something we've talked about time and time again with Microsoft decoupling hardware and software and just becoming an ecosystem.
Yeah, like, you can play these games anywhere, so that's really neat. So did that come out before Gamescom, or was that announced during
it was the Gamescom? Before Gamescom, I believe.
Okay. So I'm just going to skip over the Microsoft event because it really wasn't one. They didn't really have a lot going on. They showed like 15 minutes of how a catapult works.
Catapults are pretty awesome.
Yeah, they were talking about, I guess it was all in conjunction with Age of Empires 4. And so they were talking about how sieges, and like, they showed a real working call it a catapult. Yeah, trebuchet. They were like, showed that actually working and how they went into, like, it was really weird. Like, this is a games conference and you're spending 15 minutes on catapults, but cool, I guess. that was a weird 90 minute conference that they had. Some information that did come out of there though is, for Flight Sim, they're adding racing in. So you'll be able to fly planes against other people. Cool. In a very specific, there's like a plane racing league. I don't know. They're adding that to the game though. They're updating Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. So the cities are getting 3D modeled, and then some of the 100 of like the biggest landmarks that you'd want to go see in the area are also getting 3D modeled, and the Alps are getting an update, because I guess they looked a little flat in the original game. And they are adding in historic planes that'll be free. And they're starting out with a 1930s German bomber that, lots of cool new shit coming to Flight Sim. Which I know I'm excited for. I think, Jeff, you've fallen off of it a bit, but
yeah, I think it's really cool. I enjoyed my time with it. I'm not going to be doing like whatever you guys are doing, like these hours flights and all this shit. Fuck. I just like to get in my plane and get it off the ground.
Your level of commitment to this seems a little higher than my commitment to anything.
I am not doing what Sean is doing, right? Sean is like doing actual flight runs, like where he is like, he has added something to his PC version of the game that allows him to do actual, like, he's like picking up cargo and delivering it to different airports. He is deep into the sim aspect of this.
I was laughing the other day when he's like, shit, man, I'm not going to be landing for about two more beers. Hopefully I'll be able to fucking land when I get there.
Like, I'm flying around looking at shit like in the cities and stuff.
Yeah, like, that's all I liked. I mean, I think it's really, really cool. Like, it's just not like... I got what I wanted out of it,
So. Yeah, like I just I want to keep flying around and you know seeing different things. Because there's like a ton of stuff that like is out there. I want to go to all like the ballparks in the country, and there's some stuff that's like, oh, this would be really cool. I'm gonna fly out of Philly and go to Atlantic City, like, and basically take the same path I would take if I drove there. And I did that, and yeah, FYI, it is just as boring in the air as it is driving. It's just a lot of trees, but it's much quicker. It doesn't take 90 minutes. And then I got to Atlantic City, and much like the city itself, that was very disappointing.
It's so true. It's so true.
Yeah, Atlantic City is not a great place to go.
It's one of the worst places in the world to go. It's not a good place.
There is, like, I do kind of like the skyline when you come into it at night. Like, it's kind of lit up like Little Vegas, and that's not... The game does not have that at all. Like, the casinos aren't there. I think the Borgata is there. That might be it. And the Borgata is not on the boardwalk either, so... Like, the boardwalk is just, like, a the sand, and then there's a brown strip that's not really rendered. And then if you go down to what is now the Hard Rock Casino, which used to be the Taj Mahal, the steel pier comes off of there, which is, like, a carnival amusement park type thing. They have, like, some rides, and they have Ferris wheel.
Nice.
And like, it's not rendered, but you can see the shadow of the Ferris wheel. So like, yeah, the whole thing is really disappointing. But some of it's been fun. Like, I flew out to an amusement park called Dorney Park here, and it's not greatly rendered, but like, you can see like where the wave pools are and where some of the roller coasters are, and like the parking lot for it, which is like really kind of like interesting that like you could fly out to a place that's out in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, and they did an okay job, did better at that than they did at Atlantic City. So, but so that's the flight sim news. I guess we'll go into the Gamescom announcements. Saints Row is getting a reboot. Anybody excited?
I'd play it, I guess.
Did we kind really need a Saints Row reboot?
Because it sounds like they're trying to go more in the vein of 1 and 2 than outright like 3, 4, right?
I mean, it is definitely goofy-ish. It seems like maybe more 3-ish than 4. Like, 4 was a straight-up superhero game by the end of it. Like, you were flying. And
not by the end of it. I mean, that pretty much... It's early on.
Yeah, early in. Yeah, it looks like it might be like a mix of 2 and 3. It's a new city, so it's not like the fake Pittsburgh that they had in the first 3. This one looks like it might be out in like Arizona or something. I don't know. The trailer looked fun, but I was hoping for 4-player co-op. It's evidently only going to be 2-player. Coming very quickly, too.
I was going to say that was one of my favorite parts about Gamescom, though. There's a lot of announcements where it's like, oh, this is within the next like 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
Not like this is announced and we'll hear about it at E3 for the next update.
Yes. Like, lots of stuff where it's like, here, this is coming in a couple months, or this is coming in February. Like, most of these games will not cycle through to E3 unless they get delayed.
That's on paper right now, but yes. Right.
Other game is, this one's coming in March. This was Jeff Keighley's, like, what was it called, Opening Night Live. Started off, this show kicked off really well with Saints Row, and then Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is the new game from Firaxis, the XCOM guys.
Yeah,
they didn't show gameplay for this.
I think gameplay is like in a week.
Yeah, okay. It's on next Wednesday, I think. Whatever September 1st is.
I was surprised though, because weren't there rumors that you aren't going to play as like named superheroes, and then everybody they showed in this game was named superheroes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which, but then again, they haven't shown gameplay, so who knows?
True, true.
Yeah, it's like XCOM. It could just be that you are a thing, and those are units you control. But yeah, it looked interesting. I will give it to Marvel. I mean, between this and they had the I forget the actual mobile game. But yeah, it's like that. It's really nifty that they're doing that. Ironically, though, it's like that their bread and butter for the past 15 years or so has been this uniformed MCU, and these games are clearly not even trying to be this.
All over the place.
And that's not a bad thing, but it's just so funny. Because yeah, if you were to tell me like these are in the same universe as each other, let alone the Avengers game or Spider-Man, I'm like, yeah, no, not at all.
But yeah, I'm excited for that one. It's coming to console and PC in March. This list I'm looking at is not in order, but I think what happened immediately after that was like a 27-hour demo of Call of Duty.
Where Jeff Keighley took a stand and he talked about what was going on at Activision Blizzard. And
Nope, that didn't happen at all.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't expect that anyways, but whatever. Like, this is all an ad for shit coming out. They're not here to fucking investigate shit or whatever.
Okay, that reminds me, so we can get back to this in a second. This was like the weirdest semi-award show ever?
Yes! Once they started doing awards, I was like, why? What award? Like, are you making up awards here? Like, what are you
doing? Yes, exactly.
I mean, obviously you are. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because, it was like, I think everybody was getting onto it, but I think the one that broke people was like when Mario and Rabbids won Best Switch Game of 2021 for a game that isn't out until 2022. And there was two nominees. It was that, and it was Just Dance 2021. So it's like, yeah. But I mean, I guess it seems like it was most anticipated, which would have helped to have that word anywhere in Best Game of 2021 categories.
Right.
But yes, and then
there's no need to hand out any awards.
No, it wasn't. It was, I was like maybe I've missed out on GamesCon. I thought I watched it in the past. Maybe there's an award show that I didn't know about. But no, it was just like, he can't help himself. I think I wrote to you folks or somebody. I'm like, I think he just has a chalkboard in his office where it's like, game trailers, grand reveals, awards, and he forgot to cross out the award segment. And he's like, crap, we're giving out awards tonight. It was so awkward. It's like, I think that was the only thing he did, too.
Yeah, like that. The awards were very weird.
Thing could have been cut any which way. Like, it was felt long to me, so. Cut those, cut everything, just fucking cut Call of Duty. I don't know.
There was no, like, look, it's Call of Duty, man. Like, we know what it is. You don't need to do a 15-minute demo of it. And there was a point, like, where it was like, all right, they've reached it, right? And then it goes like, it flashes, like, backwards in time, and it's like 12 hours earlier or something like that. It's like, they're just going to continue with this.
They supposed to have much time setting up. Like the character you play as too, they were like talking about that before they even showed it. I'm like, dude, who fucking cares? Like, I don't know.
It's Call of Duty. You play that game to you know, shoot people real well.
I do think it looked good, like graphically and everything, but whatever.
I mean, those games have looked good though for especially the last few years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really get excited for Call of Duty. Yeah. Whatever it is. Vanguard, is that what it's called?
I'm curious if like 1 year there's like, we're not going to still Call of Duty. If people are not, like at this point, you kind of know what you're getting. It's been almost 20 years at this point.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't imagine somebody's like, oh man, I really want to see what this Call of Duty game is about.
Right.
I know what it's about. It's a shooty, shooty, bang, bang. And like, it does it really well.
The shootiest of the bang bangs.
Yeah.
So much shooting. Bang, 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 bang.
Speaking of shooty, shooty, bang, bang, Halo Infinite They did another trailer for that. Was not the campaign trailer, which was a little weird. It was the season one cinematic intro for the multiplayer. And they did announce, though, that it is coming December 8th.
Very, very, very carefully worded. Because I don't think they said there's a campaign, but I don't think they said anything like online co-op or anything like that.
No, but that was announced. Yeah. That was announced last week that co-op would not be part of.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying they carefully worded it because you would not notice.
Oh no, like, yeah.
Oh yeah, campaigns here at launch. I'm like, yes, but is all of campaign here at launch? You don't know. But yeah, it looks good. But and I mentioned, I guess I've always known, but it never dawned on me just how messed up the actual Spartan program is.
Oh, it's fucked.
They steal like children.
Yes. That's exactly what they did in the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, we're the good guys here, right? I think.
Well, so did they steal her they rescued her obviously from the brutes. But I believe at this point in time and super nerdy that I know any of this, but I believe at this point in time that you can choose to become a Spartan. Like they stopped kidnapping him. That was the storyline in 4.
They stopped kidnapping him.
Well, because like in 4, they kept flashing back to Halsey, who is who Cortana is modeled after, and they're interrogating her in Halo 4, and. That's when you kind of learn that there are new Spartans, and it seems like you can go through the augmentation process now because they perfected it to the point where they don't need to kidnap children and clone them and replace them to their parents. Because that's how they did it, right? They kidnapped John from his parents, the Master Chief, cloned him, gave him like some incurable disease, which he died like shortly after he was returned. And they kept the real John in some facility, like where they put him through torturous, medical procedures to make him into a Spartan. The actual lore of Halo is pretty fucked.
So, it sounds fine. What's wrong with what you just said? I don't understand.
It's fine to kidnap children. Do scientific experiments on them to make them into super soldiers.
Right, sure, why not?
While making their parents believe that, their children died of a terrible disease. It's all perfectly up and up. They also announced a Xbox
The good guys.
The good guys. Good guys. They announced the Xbox Elite Wireless Series 2 controller with a Master Chief theme. Controller looks nice.
It does.
Not $200 nice, but
no.
It's nice.
That's way nice. $200 is way, way nice.
Yeah. Especially for $350 more dollars, you could get the Halo 20th anniversary Xbox Series X console.
Except you can't because they're already sold out.
Except to Amazon, who has not posted theirs yet. They have not gone live.
Already gone, Chris. You can't have it. I know.
I'm sitting here. I keep refreshing it.
You don't need it. You're crazy.
Well, so I... No. All right. Here's my justification. Well, I won't be able to, right? Because the scalpers are going to get it anyway. My justification was that I was going to buy a Series S to put up in the den anyway where the kids are. So if I can get this, I will just put the Series X I already have up there.
Yeah.
And cool one. I have the Halo 5 Xbox One and the Halo 4 Xbox 360. So. And it's really nice. Like, it's a very pretty console. I would prefer just to have that controller though that comes with the console. Like, I think that gold and black and gray controller looks really neat.
I will also say those were probably some of the sexiest trailers I've ever seen for a hardware reveal. They really knew how to make it. Granted, not what I thought I would get when they're like, we have these surprises for the Halo 20th anniversary. But it was still a really cool reveal trailer.
Yeah, I mean, they could have remastered Halo 3. They could have remastered Reach. It's like, here's some hardware you won't be able to buy. Let's see. Horizon Forbidden West was officially delayed. I guess, and they're also updating Horizon Zero Dawn for the PS5.
Yeah, I think the update went out yesterday. It's like 60 frames per second and some other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's nice. They showed a bunch of Death Stranding director's cut stuff. I don't know. I mean, I guess we had to expect that. It's a Jeff Keighley show. He is infatuated with Kojima, so. I don't know who Morgana is.
It's either Persona or Shin Megami Tensei mascot.
Persona 5, it's crossing over to Super Monkey Ball.
Yes. I don't know why. They tried to make it like a Smash Bros. Reveal, and I'm just like, you've already shown Sonic and Tails. You've shown the guy from Yakuza. I'm like, yeah, like, you can't, like, it's not, like, I don't think anybody has the library to do a Nintendo where you're gonna, like, they hyped it up. Like, it was like 2 or 3 days, but it's like, oh, stay tuned to see who's the new character in Monkey Ball. I'm like, I don't even remember if the characters do different stuff.
I don't think so.
So it's just like a visual, like, a cosmetic thing.
I got the deluxe version to get it early. It's like they do that shit where it's like 4 days early or whatever. But you do get you could play as the Sega consoles inside the balls for getting that version.
So you play as like the Master System?
Yeah, it plays a Genesis or a Dreamcast, yeah.
Neat. That's really dumb. That. But
yeah.
Really neat. Breaking Earl's heart and destroying my chance at winning the fantasy video game league I'm in. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge was delayed till 2022.
They just snuck that in too. They didn't, it wasn't in the trailer. It was just like after the fact they posted on Twitter, it's like coming early 2022. I'm like, you promised me soon back in March of 2021. I've had my hopes set for it. I've been waiting. My wallet's ready, the money's there. I've had friends lined up on several systems to play it with, and you're just breaking my heart.
But Earl, you have to know that you can't release a Ninja Turtles game in any month other than April.
Well, I mean,
that's
I'm happy that she's getting.
You should feel bad, Tony. That was bad.
But I am happy that she's getting her shine. She is a playable character, and I could be wrong. I feel like this is the first time she's been a playable character in any Ninja Turtles game. I don't even remember if she was in one of the fighting games.
She's always almost always played as the damsel in distress.
Yes.
Right.
You're rescuing her. That's neat. Like, she looked cool. She looked like it would be fun to play as. So.
Yeah, she actually is probably better than some of the other characters in the game. It was, and again, I will say, I think online discourse at times is really stupid. So it was very funny to see people like, oh, I don't like seeing this version of April Fine. This should have been this version. I'm like, does it really matter? I hate to say it's a 34-year-old show. that, like, you have to be a whiny brat to complain about, like, the fact that she didn't fight in that show. And then, like, at the same breath, people are asking for Casey Jones. I will point out.
I mean, you saw what happened with He-Man, right?
Yeah.
It's so pathetic.
It is. But I would point out, like I said, I watched all 189 episodes of this show last summer. And Casey Jones is in 3 episodes. So, like, if anything, him being in the game would be more of a stress than April fighting.
Yeah. Riders Republic beta is open. I think it's through the weekend. So it's
still the 28th. So it's actually through
Saturday.
Yeah. So by the time this goes up, you could probably download and get it now, I guess. Yeah,
maybe you play it for a couple hours. I don't know. That game looks fun. I don't know if I want to put money on it, though. It looks really weird.
And that's how you get a beta.
Yeah, maybe I should download the beta and just give it a push and see how it goes. Let's see. Outlast Trials is a game that's coming. They're continuing to release Outlast games. I really like that first game. Same. I don't know if I want multiplayer Outlast.
No.
All right, so this one, I don't know what the hell I was watching. I had to read up on it to understand what the hell the game was. But Doka V.
Yes, I know exactly where you were going with
very
that.
Very colorful, very cool looking.
Yeah, it is evidently like a Pokemon type game. Like you
is it though?
It's not like that's what I'm reading. It's like it's a Pokemon type game.
It's a Pokemon type game in the sense that you are apparently connecting partner creatures, but it's like an open world action adventure game. Like I watched the trailer, I'm like, I enjoy what I'm seeing. I also don't know what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't think I've ever come away more excited and confused after 3 minutes of a video game.
The one thing is, I saw it's an MMO though, which is like
it's not an MMO.
That's what their fucking profile says. Like if you click on their
No, I think they came out with a tweet yesterday clarifying that it isn't an MMO. I think
should figure out what their game is at some point.
They said it was introduced as an MMO, but they don't want it to be an MMO.
Here goes. Correction was previous version of the article described Doka V as an open world MMO per the previous marketing text. Following the trailer's revealed, developer Pearl Abyss clarified that the game is better described as an action open world adventure and not an MMO.
Well,
what does that mean? Who knows?
I mean, I'm still not sure what the hell this game is because people are comparing it to Pokemon, and like I thought you would capture monsters and. I don't know. The whole thing looks weird. It looks amazing too at the same time.
Yeah, their account has like the Doki V account on Twitter. That's how you say it, right?
Sure.
There at first when you read their description it said an MMO. Now it just says an upcoming creature collecting open world action adventure by Pearl Abyss. So
it's like a word salad of like game terms.
I mean, well, that trailer was like a visual salad too of like what the fuck am I looking at? So
yeah, absolutely true.
But you mentioned it, and maybe I am. There was no release window for this, was it? It wasn't like coming.
I don't think so. Let's see this. It does not have any sort of release window listed in this article.
Hey, I could be interested. It's so different from anything else you see. Like, it was just like, what are we looking at here?
Like, yeah, it's like the environments look almost realistic, like the actual areas but then the characters are like goofy and then like there's like monsters and the whole thing was nutso. It's one of the craziest trailers I think I've ever seen. Speaking of MMOs that are actually MMOs, Amazon's New World, I guess open beta kicks off next month. I don't know. I'm hearing a lot of like good things about it, and like visually the game looks really cool. I don't play MMOs, but. And I think that is it, unless you guys remember something else.
I think those were the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, Fall Guys is getting, I guess, a Jungle Book crossover. That's weird.
Yes, it was super weird. I remember them being a kind of hush hush on, you know, like doing cross, even having like t-shirts as yeah, now that they're doing a big Disney crossover. How the mighty has fallen.
I just want to know, when is that game coming to Xbox and Switch?
Yeah, it was supposed to be this summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they delayed that a little bit, so.
What was I going to say? There was the news from Overwatch. I didn't even realize this was a thing, but I guess the character of McCree is named after somebody from Blizzard who was at Go of. So they are changing the name of the character in the game. I don't think they've announced the new game yet, the new name yet.
No, so I read that statement. Evidently, it he was supposed to be part of a new storyline that they were doing coming up in September.
Yeah,
they postponed that, and his new name will be revealed when they circle back to that.
Yes, but again, and I glanced at it because it was when I was on my way to the movies, is that they don't actually name why they're changing the name in the statement. It was, I had to find out elsewhere. It's like they're just saying that they were thinking about it and stuff like that. Like very vague PR language, right?
Yeah, so here's the here's what is actually stated. As we continue to discuss how we best live up to our values and demonstrate our commitment to creating a game world that reflects them, we believe it's necessary to change the name of the hero currently known as McCree to something that better represents what Overwatch stands for. We realize that any change to such a well-loved and central hero in the game's fiction will take time to roll out correctly, and we'll share updates as this work in progress. In the near term, we have planned to kick off a narrative arc that goes on about how McCree was supposed to be part of that, blah, blah, blah. Going forward, in-game characters will no longer be named after real employees, and we will be more thoughtful and discerning about adding real-world references in future Overwatch content. Yeah, they don't talk about Jesse McCree, who was the actual, I guess, the actual person that he was named after. And he was let go from the studio last week. 2 weeks ago.
Because he was a terrible human being.
Yes.
Cat Dog and April O'Neil were announced for that Nickelodeon Smash Brothers game, which I'm too tired or lazy to look up the actual name of right now.
Nickelodeon's All-Star Brawl.
There we go. Somebody would get it. And then I think the last piece of news that I got is that Monster Rancher 1 and 2 is getting a kind of anniversary bundle collection out this year for the Switch and I want PC. And in order to, because I mean, I think we're all old heads, so we kind of know, but for the youngins out there, the big gimmick of Monster Rancher back in the day on the PlayStation was you could input any CD and it would generate a unique monster based off of the CD that you input. To kind of replicate that, because I mean, who uses CDs anymore? You can search a database and it will create a monster based off of like the song to pick and stuff. I'm kind of curious to see that database because I'm assuming, I mean, I guess if it's just a name, you probably don't need a license and rights or anything like that. But yes, I am. And it does not seem like it's getting much of a graphical update. It's like a PlayStation title.
Yeah. And it's, I guess you said Switch and PC also coming to iOS.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that being like a really cool feature though, like where it's like you could put in a disc and it would create a monster based on that.
I feel like in my head, Monster Rancher is the opposite of Pokemon, but kind of where I knew the animated series and I don't have any experience with the video games. Or Pokemon, like the video games was kind of the stepping stone into the animated series. Because it was like there was a time in the late 90s where you had Monster Rancher, and Digimon, and Pokemon all airing on TV at the same time.
That whole CD like generating thing reminded me of a thing that I never got to utilize, but somebody at my grade school had one. It's this thing called Barcode Battler. Do you guys remember that?
No.
No.
It was a handheld game like that you would scan barcodes and it would create like fighters. And it was on like this like Tiger Electronics like looking screen, like an LCD screen. It's really cool, like pretty stupid when you think about it, but it would just like you could just scan anything. Like you had to put the barcode through the scanner thing, so it wasn't like an infrared. But
yes, it came out in March of 1991. Like this seems like a game that you would think you would put on a mobile device. Like you have QR scanners, we all know how to use them now,
right?
So like. Why not dump one on a mobile platform?
Should bring it back. It was a neat concept for the time. I don't think it worked really well, if I remember correctly, but the idea of it was really cool. And I thought Monster Rancher kind of like took that idea with CDs and transferred it to something that was actually functional. All right. Well, I think that's it. For us this week, anything new coming out?
Yes.
Yeah.
No More Heroes 3 will be dropping in
That's right.
2 minutes.
Oh.
Are you getting that?
I have not decided. Let me clarify this because I put it out on Twitter. I am gonna get No More Heroes 3. But No More Heroes 3 is also one of those games that I'm almost certain that by November I can get fake $20. So it's my cheapness versus my wanting to play now. And I think my cheapness is going to win. Because again, like there are games you see. There are games I made this list. There are games that are like day one, Metroid Dread, WarioWare, Mario Party, it's Nintendo games. They probably at best I get like maybe $10 off eventually in like 2 years. Then there are games that I have that I'm like, yes, it's not yet, but we know it's coming to Game Pass eventually.
Right.
And then there's the games where it's like, I will buy, but I also know you're going to be like $5 on Black Friday because nobody's going to pick you up after the first month. And No More Heroes 3 kind of fits in that box for me right now.
Definitely one of those.
Yeah, it's published by what, Grasshopper and Marvelous, so... Yeah, you should be able to get a good deal on that by Black Friday. Myst is coming out on Xbox Game Pass on consoles. I might try that out. I haven't played that game in 20 years, thereabouts.
I've never played it, but I guess if it's on Game Pass.
I remember being like super obtuse, like. And I never being able to advance very far in it.
It did just say 12 minutes, so.
It's true.
Yeah. I might get Spelunky too, man. I think the first one was pretty neat.
I don't know and this is a game that I feel like if it's on Game Pass, I would get. But Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champions, I think, is out next week.
I saw some video of that, yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it looks all right. Did you ever play that Rocky game back in the day on like
PS2? Oh yeah, the PS2 GameCube one. That was not my first exposure because Rocky's one of those weird franchises that's always kind of existed in my head. But yes, I remember playing that and like that was a ton of fun. I mean,
yeah.
To be fair, it's kind of hard to screw up a boxing game, I think.
You could play as Clubber Lang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say the other thing though is like Creed, there's two Creed movies. In the movies, he's fought like three people, so a lot of them is just like, it's just a Rocky game with a Creed coat of paint.
Which probably makes sense, right? Like Creed is that franchise going forward, so
yeah.
Oh, that's not bad either. It's like $40, so might have to keep an eye on that. See if that one goes on sale. Looks like it could be fun. Did that game review well? Do you guys know?
I haven't seen it.
I watched some video where Sky mentioned it, and he said that he thinks it's ported from mobile, so...
That wouldn't surprise me.
But it did look like the gameplay footage you're showing, I'm like, it looked fun, and it looked, you know, like it had a lot of, you know, basically everyone you'd want, so.
Okay, it's not out. It's not officially out yet, so.
Yeah, it's one that, like you said, it's like a sale game for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay like $40 for it or something.
No, I'm going to keep an eye on that one, though, especially if like the reviews are middling to decent. All right, well, we will be back next week with something. Not No More Heroes 3, not Creed, Champions Boxing.
Well, hopefully one of us decides to download Riders Republic beta and check that out.
I may do that.
They're not putting it out for free for 3 days for nothing.
Right. Such a like, who puts it out on a Wednesday? We're going to take it down on Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, I might do that then, and I might be able to talk a little bit about that next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.